News Team Coverage, 94.9 WSJM News Now.
Brought to you by Comfort Keepers of Southwest Michigan. Serving Barry and Cass and Van Buren counties. Compatible, compassionate, comfortable care. At home in the newsroom, I'm Andrew Green. Michigan Attorney General Bill Schuette and two other state attorneys general have sent a letter to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers asking more to be done to stop the Asian carp. Specifically, they're asking for a physical barrier to be installed in the Chicago shipping canals to stop the Asian carp from getting into Lake Michigan. AG spokesperson Megan Hawthorne tells us this follows the recent release of the Brandon Road Lock and Dam Study.
The Brandon Road Study, the Army Corps tentatively selected a plan which would retrofit the Brandon Road Lock and Dam with a combination of technologies that are intended to deter the movement of Asian carp. But the closure of the lock would be, the attorneys general on this letter believe, would be a more permanent and effective way.
Hawthorne tells us Schuette's been vocal on the issue of Asian carp ever since he took office. Experts warn the invasive fish will be devastating to Michigan's fishing and recreation industries if it gets into the Great Lakes. Also signing that letter this week are attorneys general from Pennsylvania and Minnesota. The seat of former Congressman John Conyers will not be filled until late next year, but Congressman Fred Upton says it does make sense. And Governor Rick Snyder last week announced a primary for Congress will be held in the district of Conyers come August. Then the general election will be in November. Upton told Michigan's Big Show this week, it does take a whole lot while for candidates to get ready for such an election. Waiting 11 months isn't so bad.
It's my understanding that the governor worked with a Democratic chair from that district and folks were comfortable with the decision that he made.
Well, with all Michigan's recent retirements from Congress, Upton notes the state's losing some clout in Washington, if anything, because of a committee seniority.
John Conyers, ranking member on Judiciary. Sandy Levin, until this year, was ranking member on Ways and Means.
Upton points out Michigan could well lose another congressional representative after the next census. He tells us the district of John Conyers may be without representation through November, but there really won't be very many legislative days through that period. The Michigan Department of Transportation has its plows out in force this week. With so much snow and ice, MDOT spokesperson Nick Shiripa tells us the agency just doesn't quit.
When the snow is falling, for as long as snow is falling, our operators are out 24-7. And then as soon as the snow lets up, we go back to our shifts. And we still do 12-hour shifts during the day, day and night, obviously. But we'll stop plowing once we get to a certain point.
That all depends on which road they're talking about and how busy it is. Roads like I-196 or I-94 get constant attention. Shiripa tells us you can go to michigan.gov/mydrive and see exactly where each plow is. You can track them and see what they're doing, plus get a photograph from their windshield. Just check out the conditions wherever they are. A cloud computing project at Whirlpool has received some new attention. The Whirlpool Cloud Project has been named a winner of the 2018 Digital Edge 50 Award from IDG Enterprise and CIO Magazine. Whirlpool tells us this award is for companies that use the internet to improve their products and enhance the customer experience. It says Whirlpool Cloud's project, launched in 2016, will allow Whirlpool Corporation to deploy connected products around the world, delivering advanced appliance features more quickly and reducing development times. In other words, it's a Whirlpool initiative to have connected appliances. A Whirlpool Corporation Vice President and Global Chief Information Officer Mike Heim says Whirlpool is proud of the project and the team behind it. There's a new online component to the Riverview Cemetery in St. Joseph. St. Joe Deputy Public Works Director Greg Grothaus tells us you can go to the city's website now and search for information of any person buried at the cemetery.
So people can go to the city website under cemeteries. In the upper right-hand corner of the website, there'll be a burial search tab. You click on that, it'll take you to another page, and then you can search for people. You can search based on the last name. You can search based on the first name. You could search based on a burial date.
Grothaus tells us it took his staff about 2 years to get the whole index put together. In addition to searching individuals buried at the cemetery, you can see a map of all the plots and whether they are sold or available. Grothaus tells us some of the oldest sections of the cemetery may not have records anymore. However, his staff is still working to get more info into the database. Again, that website is sjcity.com. Click the government tab and then click cemeteries. The city of Niles is going to allow for 7 medical marijuana businesses within its borders. Mayor Nick Shelton cast a tie-breaking vote last night to approve 3 growers and 2 processors and 2 provider licenses. A state approval of those licenses won't start until Friday, but once it happens, several businesses will be able to open in Niles. Shelton told WNDU he feels it's the right move.
That was the overwhelming answer. That's what people wanted.
The city received about 20 applications before giving the green light to those 7 last night. If you're in the Christmas spirit, then downtown Bridgeman is the place for you to go this Saturday. Callie Berg with the Chamber of Commerce tells us Bridgeman's holding its annual Holiday Village,
which is a great big excuse to throw a party and light the Christmas tree. And there are only 2 times that folks need to remember. We always start Holiday Village with our pet parade. And this year that will be at 4:00 leaving from Postwash. And we always wrap up festivities with gathering around, singing carols, and lighting the tree.
That's at 6:00. Also going on Saturday in Bridgeman will be a pet adoption event, a chili cook-off, a holiday bazaar, hot dogs, pizza, hot chocolate, popcorn, live music, and a bonfire. Berg tells us downtown Bridgeman's definitely the place to be this Saturday. The Chamber has a schedule for the Holiday Village at its Facebook page. And the Jewish celebration of Hanukkah starts tonight at sundown. Rabbi Michael Moskowitz with West Bloomfield's Temple Shir Shalom says the holiday reminds the community of the miracle of light.
It's really a blessing for us. And so Hanukkah reminds us of those blessings. And again, as an opportunity for us to make our world a brighter place, a responsibility to help one another, to do good, to take care of each other, and to bring more light into our world.
Traditions of lighting the menorah and gathering with friends and family come from the ancestral story of the Maccabees, who were able to rededicate the ancient temple in Jerusalem after they were kicked out centuries ago. As the story goes, the miracle was that the holy lamp oil, which was only supposed to last one day, lasted 8 days for the temple rededication. WSJM News Now continues with your Hilliard Lions report.
This is Rick Sanders with Hilliard Lions, bringing you a market recap and stocks of local interest for Tuesday, December 12th. U.S. stocks closed mixed as investors kept an eye on upcoming central bank meetings. Telephone stocks, banks, and diversified financial companies were up, while utilities and semiconductors led decliners. 10-year Treasury yields at 2.4% after data showed signs of inflation in producer prices. The dollar and gold closed higher while oil closed lower. Stocks of local interest include American Electric Power down $1.06 at $76.02, Express One down 11 cents at $76.29, and J.P. Morgan up $1.24 at $106.86. GE up 27 cents at $17.92, IBM up $1.34 at $156.75, and Microsoft up 35 cents at $85.58. Fifth Third up 15 cents at $30.45, Chemical Financial up 8 cents at $54.53. Stryker up 90 cents at $153.61, and Whirlpool down $1.36 at $166.51. For the session, the NASDAQ was down 12 points at 6,862, the S&P 500 up 4 points at 2,664, and the Dow was up 118 points at 24,500.
WSJM News Now continues. Election day is past the halfway point in Alabama, where voters are deciding whether Democrat Doug Jones or Republican Roy Moore should be the state's next U.S. senator. ABC's Jim Ryan says there is a third choice.
Hardcore Republicans can't bear the thought of voting for Democrat Doug Jones, and the claims of sexual misbehavior against Roy Moore make the voters squeamish. Alabama senior Senator Richard Shelby exercised the option to write in a candidate, although he won't say who. Some have suggested this man.
Do you do what everybody else in the media does, just create some and throw it on the wall and see what sticks?
University of Alabama head football coach Nick Saban is wildly popular here, but has no interest in running for office. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Montgomery, Alabama.
The Department of Homeland Security keeping its eye on Alabama's special U.S. Senate election. The agency's top infrastructure and cybersecurity official says a federal protective security advisor and a cybersecurity advisor are at the Capitol of Montgomery, and they're working side by side with state government officials just in case issues arise. More than 100 Democratic lawmakers are calling for a congressional investigation into allegations of sexual misconduct against President Trump. Here's ABC's Arlette Sands with more.
The Me Too movement has arrived.
Congresswoman Lois Frankel is one of more than 110 Democratic lawmakers pushing for a House committee to investigate sexual misconduct allegations against President Trump.
Sexual abuse will not be tolerated, whether it's by a Hollywood producer, the chef of a restaurant, a member of Congress, or the president of the United States.
More than a dozen women have accused Mr. Trump of sexual misconduct prior to his election, allegations he has denied. Arlette Sines, ABC News, Washington.
President Trump's tweet about Senator Kirsten Gillibrand has set off a furor among Democrats. They said that he made sexist and crude insinuations about the New York senator. Trump tweeted today that the senator would come to his office begging for campaign contributions and, quote, do anything to get them. The senator says Trump's attack was a sexist smear attempting to silence, quote, my voice. Attorney General Jeff Sessions in Baltimore today talking about gangs and illegal immigration. Here's ABC's Robert Lang.
On the subject of illegal immigration, Attorney General Jeff Sessions says Monday's pipe bombing in New York shows the FBI and immigration officials cannot track every potential terrorist.
We need to make sure that we are putting minimum stress on the Bureau or reducing the stress by virtue of vetting people carefully before they're admitted to the country.
One of the things Sessions wants is tougher immigration standards, including a merit system which immigrants are admitted to the U.S. based on, among other things, their age and ability to speak English. Robert Lang, ABC News, Baltimore.
A federal prosecutor says the man accused of setting off a bomb in the New York subway system chose a time and a place designed to cause maximum destruction, although it ultimately only caused minor injuries to three others. The acting U.S. attorney says the defendant will have a hospital court proceeding this week. Court documents say he mocked President Trump on Facebook and had hand-scribbled sentiments referencing death in America. More progress on those wildfires burning in Southern California. Here's ABC's Alex Stone.
While Santa Ana winds are still blowing and red flag fire warnings have again been extended, conditions on the fire line are improving. The largest fire burning is now 20% contained, double what it was on Monday. The Thomas Fire has grown to 234,000 acres. There's a lot of work left to do. 20% containment means 80% of the fire is burning uncontained and out of control.
That's ABC's Alex Stone. And the first reviews are coming in for the new Star Wars movie. It opens this weekend, and the theaters will be packed. It's already opened and made its premiere in the UK, but ABC's Jason Nathanson has a look at some of the first responses from critics.
What do you say? The consensus seems to be that it's really good, but not amazing, and a little too long.
Light.
The headline in the New York Times screams, quote, Star Wars The Last Jedi is really good, exclamation mark. Manola Dargis writes that it has visual wit and a human touch. USA Today calls it stellar, noting there are a few welcome twists, though the 2.5 hour length is overlong.
Darkness.
CNN's Brian Lowry didn't have a great experience, writing that expectations were perhaps unfairly high, but the film feels like a significant letdown. Whatever critics say, it'll make a ton of money at the box office this weekend. Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
WSJM News now continues with your weather forecast.